since 1995, when the legislature designated community college service areas, the college has served six counties. But our taxing district is the city limits of Paris and the old Cunningham School District. So our taxing district is 44 square miles, and we serve 3,848 square miles. And that taxing district came about originally because of the way this college was formed back in the 1920s. So we work at some disadvantage compared to many of the other community colleges. And as we look at the current funding model for community colleges and what's happened the last several legislative sessions with community colleges, we know that, first of all, the funding model for community colleges is not sustainable for the small and medium-sized and rural community colleges. Second of all, you know, we know that as we move forward in the needs of the state and this region as far as having a trained workforce, it is more crucial than ever that Paris Junior College serve the area's workforce training needs. For example, this fall we're working with a number of high schools doing career and technical education training for as dual credit for those high school students. We're doing welding, we're doing electromechanical or mechatronics, we're doing enhanced nurse aid, we're doing 3D printing, EMT. So all of these programs that we have that train workers for the future. So as we look at expanding that, it would require more of a revenue stream than we have. The last several sessions, the legislature has looked to community colleges for more local support in the form of revenue. And local support comes in two fashions. It's either tuition fees or local tax money. So when you look at that 44 square miles and trying to serve a population over 3,848 square miles, it becomes very difficult to increase your revenue stream much with that very limited tax base.
To those who suggest that PJC should try to increase its revenue stream through increasing tuition and fees rather than increasing the tax rate, how does PJC's tuition and fees compare to comparable junior colleges?
Right now, our tuition and fees are at the average point for all 50 community colleges. If you look at the surrounding community colleges, we have some that tuition is lower than ours, so there is that point where we really can't go any higher. And we know with the student population that we serve, so many of them, even a small increase in tuition locks them out from ever coming to college. So it is very important. Our in-district tuition is $55 per credit hour. Our out-of-district is $100 per credit hour. So by this area voting to come into the taxing district, it would mean that all of the students would get that $55 rate instead of the $100 rate.
So the in-district for tuition purposes does and will continue to correspond exactly with what the taxing district is?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. How does PJC's annual operating budget compare to comparable institutions?
Our operating budget, if you look at ours compared to other institutions our size, ours is going to be smaller. We are very lean, very efficient. If you look at the data feedback report from the Integrated Postsecondary Education Data Survey that the Department of Education does every year, we spend less per student in the different expenditure categories. So we're doing a lot with less.
What are some of the cuts that y'all have made in recent years as far as cutting staffing position programs or services?
Okay. Over the last several years, every time someone has resigned or retired, we look at the position and try to have the responsibilities absorbed in another position. So we've done that, and we've cut positions also. If you look at the budget, For this year compared to last year, there's about 14, 15 positions that are no longer in this budget from last year's budget. We have not given raises in a couple of years. We have people on faculty and clerical staff tables, and if they're eligible for a step increase, they've got their step increase, but we've been very, very conservative there. We also, this spring, the Board of Regents voted to discontinue volleyball and golf to reduce our expenditures there. With some of the changes that have been made at the state level, many of the universities do not require physical education for a graduation requirement anymore, and so we dropped it as a graduation requirement, and so we don't have the number of students taking physical education classes now that we did 3 years ago, so there was not the need for as many physical education teachers, and our auxiliary revenue streams were down, so we had to cut some athletic programs and cut some faculty positions because of that. So we did volleyball and golf.
And this is not directly related to the ballot measure, but just since we're talking about money, the upcoming legislature, what are we looking at as far as things that might be coming in this next session?
Yeah. Everything I'm hearing is going to be a very tight budget year. And when you look at the required spending categories for the state, when you get down to funding for community colleges, I don't think we're going to see any huge increases, so we're expecting another lean year from the state.
In recent weeks, you've had a number of open house forums on this topic. Y'all have been in Sulphur Springs and Greenville and here in Paris and down in Cooper also. What sort of response have you had at these forums?
Okay. Well, we've had 6 public hearings. We've had a public hearing in each county. And those public hearings, we just presented the factual data and allowed individuals to make comments and questions. So that's what we've done up to now. We've had a decent turnout in all the locations, and it's been good for me and for the Regents to be able to hear people's concerns, answer questions about the college. What we'll start doing now is going out in every community and having town hall meetings and just open it up for people to come in and ask questions, look at the information that we have, the factual information, so that they can be well-informed voters come November.
Of course, Delta, Hopkins, Red River, and Hunt are not in any junior colleges taxing district, and then most of Fannin is not in a junior college's taxing district. Is that really unusual in Texas for there to be counties that are not in any junior college's taxing district?
There are a number of the colleges that the entire area that they serve is within the taxing district. But there are another, probably half, that do not tax their entire service area. And that came about because of the 1995 when they divided the state up into two service areas. And it kind of, when you look at those colleges, it depends on when they were formed. If a college was begun in the 60s, 70s, 80s, typically their whole service area is in their taxing district. But those of us that were formed in the 20s and 40s, typically we serve more than our taxing area.
Okay. Well, I think we've hit the basics. So before we're done, let me just leave it open-ended for you. Is there anything else about this topic that you think would be of interest to our listeners?
I think the listeners need to look at the strategic plan for the state of Texas as far as education goes. It is 60 by 30 Texas. And all of the research shows that for us to have a workforce to serve the state of Texas and to meet the economic needs of the state, we have to educate 60% of our population of 25 to 34 year olds by 2030, to where that 60% of that age group have either some form of credential, whether it be a certificate or an associate degree from a community college or a baccalaureate degree. We're at 38% right now statewide. And if you look at this region that we serve, we have a less educated population than other areas of the state. So for us to have a viable economy and stay as vibrant as the areas are now, we have to do everything we can to make sure these people coming out of high school, these young people, have opportunities. If they're not going to get a baccalaureate, they have opportunities to get some workforce training. Another statistic, and I like the data stuff, but about 67% of all jobs by 2025 are going to require some training above a high school diploma. So that's why it's so important for us to realize that that's what we're looking at in the future, and we have to do what we can now to be prepared for that.